Do you have questions about American root work?
Have you ever heard of mojo bags or conditioning oils and haven't a clue what they do? Or perhaps just felt a call to conjure?
Well, grab a lamp and strike a light and follow us to the crossroads. I'm Dr. Hobb, a journeyman Memphis conjure doctor.
And I'm Silver Shadow, a Chicago area Strega witch beginning his journey into root work.
Welcome to Lamplighter Blues, shining a light at the crossroads of American hoodoo, conjure, and root work.
Welcome to the first episode of Lamplighter Blues. I'm one of your hosts, Silver Shadow, and joined with me, of course, is the ever-present Dr. Hobb.
Ever-present? Makes me sound like a stalker.
Well, you know, we after we had recorded our first episode of the Hoodoo 101, and we got to talking at great lengths for a long time, we decided that perhaps we could branch out and start this other show. So that's why we're here today, and we figure we give you a little intro of what we were going to be doing with this particular show. So, go ahead.
No, just gonna expand upon what you were talking about. We of course did the introduction episode, and really just kind of skim the surface. There's a lot to talk about, and not much we can do in within the confines of just one sitting to discuss anything in any real detail.
Absolutely, and that was something that. It became very apparent when we were trying to cover as many bases as we could that we were just able to skim maybe an eighth of the bases that we wanted to talk about, and we would need many, many more shows in order to really get into it. So, thus, the Lamplighter Blues is born. So, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about the name Lamplighter Blues.
Oh, you thought there was some meaning behind that?
Oh, there is a meaning behind it.
in my intention, really, with the name, for me, the blues are always telling stories. For me, the blues is just such a, being from the South and being a fan of rural blues, especially Delta blues, there's always stories to be told there, and they explore a lot of different themes. So for me, anytime you can sit down and tell a story, you can really think about it being a part of the blues. And it's just sort of a thematic thing, I suppose. As far as lamplighter, well, lamplighter is just someone who kind of pushes the dark back. Someone who goes around and would light the street lamps at night. So for me, it's just our way of lighting, of shining a light and illuminating, educating the best we can.
And that is our primary goal, is to help you all get a really good understanding as best you can through a podcast. You know, hands-on training, you just can't beat that. But, you know, through these episodes, we're really hoping to show you kind of in-depthly what it is root workers do, why we do it, and hopefully give you a few tips and tricks that if you're in need of certain spiritual... if you have certain spiritual conditions that perhaps you could use this knowledge to take them off of yourself or improve your lot.
And, of course, consider the fact that neither one of us are experts in this field. We're both we're both in the fledgling stages of our education. We're both continuing students. You never really stop learning if you're learning the right way. So, along with teaching, hopefully, we're helping ourselves learn some more as well along the way.
Absolutely. When we get to the points where we're going to be doing these episodes, we're really going to be digging into our particular subject matter so that we can present to you the best information that we have access to.
That's right.
So, and, you know, hopefully there will be some stuff where I can at least say, this is what I've done, this is the results I've had. But for me, as I've just really begun starting this work, I don't have a lot of beyond academic knowledge. So, where Dr. Hobb here actually has done quite a few things, so he'll be able to give us a much better insight into what to expect.
and on that note, for anyone who's come to this show who has not yet had the opportunity to listen to the show we did with the Pagan Rapport, or who may not be familiar with me, my name is Dr. Hobb. I'm from the Memphis, Tennessee area, and I'm a professional working reader and conjure doctor.
I suppose that would leave me to my introduction, which I'm Silver Shadow of the Pagan Rapport, now starting up my own conjure practice, very, you know, low key at the moment. But there's, you know, as soon as you put out that you have or that you're willing to do these conjure practices for folks, let me tell you, they fly off the shelves, just come out of the woodwork. So I've actually gotten a pretty good chance to get my hands dirty in this practice, but at the same point, like you had said, I'm still very new to this. I haven't gone through any formal training quite yet, so it's all academic and basically calling Dr. Hop every day. So, but that being said, it sounds like this would be a good time for us to move into our main topic. So, for our first show, we thought we would talk to you about mirror boxes. To me, it's important to have something like this if you know that you're going to get involved in the practice. The first thing I always look for in any practice is how to make sure that I am well protected. And the mirror box was the first thing that I had really been shown to be a authentic conjure, I suppose is the term I'll use, way of doing so.
Well, mirror boxes can be looked at as protection, but that's not strictly their use. There are protections done with mirrors, such as, you know, affixing mirrors to the outside of one's home to deflect sort of bad intentions or bad work.
Mm-hmm.
The mirror box at its basis use is a binding.
See, I was always under the impression that the mirror box in general was, if someone was throwing for you specifically, that you would put them in your mirror box, and then whatever they had thrown to you would then be going back to them.
Yeah, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Mirror box.
All right.
a mirror box is a device used to do basically what you just said, which is to return something to the sender. But do keep in mind when doing a mirror box, this is a kind of work that would require one to cleanse oneself after doing so, because it is a binding. A mirror box is a smallish box. It doesn't have to be much bigger than a shoebox. It just needs to be big enough to contain some form of effigy for your target. Normally this would be a doll baby, which we'll get into in detail, I'm sure, in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You can also be as simple as a black devil candle I've seen used. And I've seen photographs used in mirror boxes fairly effectively, where you suspend the photograph of the person you have a problem with. And man, has Facebook made finding pictures of people so much easier.
Yeah, not to mention the ability to carry around camera phones and then bring them home for home printing.
We are certainly a personal media generation.
Yeah, and it's definitely something to bring up, too, when you're talking about Conjure in this context, is a lot of people are very hung up on these practices being, you know, from the certain era and things, but that doesn't mean that when you're applying these old school practices, you can't use cutting edge technology to help yourself.
Certainly not. I mean, again, on topics we'll probably discuss in detail later, you look at something like the freezer spells, and freezer spells, of course, didn't really come into common use until ice boxes were common in people's homes.
Right.
So there's certainly a period where I'm sure old-fashioned workers looked at freezer spells as highfalutin, newfangled technology.
But. Well, I mean, you know, when you knew the three stores in your whole town that had freezers, probably hard to be like, am I putting this bag in there for me and freezing it? Thanks.
Just forget about it. It's totally fine.
Right. But don't ever take it out.
But going back to mirror boxes,
mm-hmm.
Mirror box would be, like I said, be as small as a shoebox, and it could be a simple box that you have laying around the house that you simply take. You can buy a whole mirror and break it and glue the pieces inside. I'm a big fan of buying small mirror tiles, which is one of the ways I was taught, and actually just using the mirror tiles themselves to assemble to make the box.
And I come from the family of glazers and glass workers, so I bought one big one and then cut it because...
Oh, yeah, that's certainly an option. If you don't want to put the work into that, that's certainly a fine option to do. Just depends on your level of comfort and capacity to do the work, however you're most
mm-hmm.
comfortable. And at the simplest basis, you have a box lined with mirrors in which you place an image of the target. And most typically, that I'm familiar with this use, if you have someone who is throwing for you, doing bad work for you, classically, even though you can cleanse and uncross, it's not going to stop them from doing it again.
Right.
So once you cleanse and uncross, you can take the person who's causing problems for you and put them in a mirror box. And while they're bound within the box, anything they send out is going to bounce back to them.
So on that context, and something that just occurred to me as you were saying that, you know, there's of course, you know, if someone had thrown some type of powder at your door or, you know, a powdered field egg, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. on your property, you can, you know, cleanse. If you find the egg, you can get rid of it, then cleanse the area, cleanse yourself, boom, you're pretty much good to go. But how does the mirror box work in the context of, for instance, something that you would do in like a sweet gum tree?
Well, as far as hammering somebody into a gum tree.
Right. So, you know, I have this mirror box. I'm going to try to use it to block this stuff, but the effect isn't going to go away until I find that mirror gum tree. So
largely, if you can get someone into a mirror box, they're going to have a great deal of trouble doing work against you.
Okay.
They're going to have a great deal of trouble escaping that binding in order to do work against you. So if you can get someone into a mirror box, and with a really stern sort of uncrossing mirror box, you know someone's working for you, you would actually treat that mirror box like a coffin. You would take that box to a graveyard where you had a friendly spirit, and you would bury that box at the right hand of that spirit and pray for that spirit to hold down your enemy. And in that case, they're really going to have a hard time, depending on how you phrase your working, when you put that box together, they could have a hard time doing any kind of work.
Okay. So even for a continual type of thing, they're still going to be just as stuck.
Well, in my experience, I have seen it work that way, and I have seen workers strong enough to push through a binding in that way. But if you can get someone into a mirror box, if you can get yourself good, properly cleansed and undone from a crossing and get the person doing the bad work into a mirror box, if your intent's correct and your work is right and you've got some good spiritual assistance on your side, there's a good chance you can prevent them from doing bad work against you.
Which is really what it's about. And I mean, you know, and mostly, or for the most part, you're not going to have a lot of people throwing for a lot of people. I mean, at least from what I've seen, it's something that's kind of rare, but when it does happen, it's pretty bad.
It happens more often than people realize, I think. There's still a lot of people that subscribe to these old homie works, and not just from the point of finding money or love or you know, improving their luck or whatever, but there's still a lot of people that will hot foot at the drop of a hat.
Which, you know, makes things quite unpleasant until you want to leave, so...
Sure.
Something to look out for. And, you know, there's another show we'll probably talk a lot about protections and things you can do alongside the mirror box to make sure that when you get hit like that, that, you know, you are okay enough to get to this point.
I'm certain we'll devote a show to probably more than one to protection works, because there's quite a lot of different ways to do it.
Absolutely.
And quite a lot of different conditions to protect yourself against.
All right. So I got myself a box, which... to throw it out there, any place that you can go to a craft store, you can find pre-made boxes and mirrors that will fit that box. So even if you are really clumsy with craft type things, as Dr. Hobbit said, you can get mirrors that you can easily glue into all of these pre-made boxes. Always better if you can build it from scratch to kind of work your energy into it from the start to the finish, really solidify that intent. But if you have to, you can go to any craft store and find this stuff.
Well, like I said, you can break up an old hand mirror and glue it inside a shoebox if you need to, as long as it serves the purpose.
Right. So, all right. So I got my box. I've glued my mirrors. That I now have a entirely enclosed mirror box.
One caution, when constructing a mirror box, you want to be very careful not to look into the mirrors you're using to build the box. Even if you go to the store to buy the mirror to use for a mirror box, do not look into that mirror when you do it. You do not want yourself to become captured in the mirrors you're using for a mirror box. So you never, ever want to look that mirror full in the face.
Very good advice.
I've actually taken to a piece of good advice I received. I actually wear a veil when working on mirror boxes so that my face cannot be seen in the mirror.
Oh, that's a good idea. I had never thought about that, but it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that'd be Miss Michael from Hoodoo Foundry. That was one of her suggestions that I'm very fond of, and I would recommend to anybody working with mirrors, because it makes things a lot simpler when instead of trying to dodge your eyes in that mirror.
Yeah, I mean, it's awfully hard to put together something that's at least slightly intricate without looking at it.
I agree, especially for myself being visually impaired, to have to get very close to things I'm working on. Yeah, right. I had to come up with a way to sort of watch for that, because we have this kind of reflex to look into mirrors.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is part of what really makes this particular, I don't know if we would call this a trick, but working effective, because it's just one of those natural, jerk reflexes to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so like I said, you know, we got our box, we got our mirrors in it. Now we have to either fix a petition paper, a photo, or an effigy. So, if you'd like to talk about that.
Well, you really need some linking aspect of the person you're doing this work for. If you can get a personal concern, that of course is preferable. If you want to build something like a doll, we'll build something like a doll baby. Like I said, you can, in a pinch, use a picture. I've seen that work done successfully. And you can take a, as stated previously, a black devil candle and carve their name into it is also acceptable if your box is big enough for the candle. But you will actually take that, and of course we'll do. We'll discuss doll babies, but you'll want to baptize that doll baby with the person's name, and affix any personal concerns or sew in any personal concerns. If you have specific work, specific ways you want the work to be undertaken, whether healing or more vicious, of course you can stuff the baby with different kinds of herbs. You can put, you know, poppy seeds in the head if you want to cause confusion or unrest. You can put red pepper in the mouth if you want their lies to be to burn them. Put red peppers and pods in their feet if you want them to be driven to leave a place.
Pins and needles.
Pins and needles can work. I've seen instances where a silver dime was used in the belly to help someone overcome substance abuse to protect them from themselves.
Oh, that's
or,
a good one.
Or in the head to help help them confront and deal with psychological issues. So mirror boxes, even though they are bindings, can be used for healing purposes. It can be used to help someone confront the evil they do in a positive way as well as in a negative way.
Sort of the cast-off evil idea.
Sure. And you can incorporate herbal or mineral components into the box. I've seen and have built boxes using graveyard dirt as a component of the box to sort of emphasize the grave concept of the box where you're binding someone for keeps. And I've also seen people use sweet herbs in the box as sort of a cushion to make it a little more gentle.
Oh, okay. So, in your opinion, how do you perceive a mirror box in general? Is this something that's very, very much of a stern working, or is it entirely up to your, I guess, prerogative when you're building it?
Well, I think there are degrees of sternness, but I think if you're going to put someone into a mirror box, you are doing a fairly stern work. You are basically putting someone in timeout. You know, so you're stepping up and going, you're going to have to deal with this, and you're not getting away from it. You are locking someone into a confrontation with something, either with themselves. That's effectively what you're doing, is you're locking someone into a confrontation with their own evil. And whether that is as a punishment or as tough love, I suppose, is really up to you when you build it.
And I think, as you're saying, you know, when you're constructing the doll baby is really when you're sort of solidifying how bad this is going to be.
Yes, and of course you can build a box. Like I said, I've heard Auntie Cindy Toto describe a biting mirror box. That's one of the most vicious things I've ever heard of, where you construct that mirror box, not just with mirrors, bits of mirror on the inside, but, you know, other bits of broken glass, nails, pins, teeth, anything that'll bite or catch, thorns. And that's a really stern crossing work for someone who's been throwing for you. And you're not just binding them up, you're putting them in hell. And that's pretty serious work.
It sounds sort of like a halfway between a witch bottle and the Strega tradition.
Sure.
That's interesting. I never would have thought to...
No, I'd never heard that before. I never heard that before until I heard her describe it, and it's definitely went into my notebooks after that. I've not had cause to use it, but it's certainly a good one to know.
But it's in there nonetheless.
It is indeed.
Okay, well, let's talk about doll babies for a little bit to get a better understanding of, if I was going to make one of these things, how I would go about doing it.
Okay, there's as many ways to make doll babies as there are workers. Some people make very elaborate doll babies. Some people make very simple ones. Something as simple as a cheap Barbie doll or a cheap Barbie-type baby doll that you can put personal concerns inside of. The cheaper ones are hollow-bodied, so they're easier to load with things.
Mm-hmm.
So you can load, just like you can with a cloth one that you'd sew together. I worked a standard binding, reversing mirror box for someone who, not magical work, but someone who was just causing problems for a client, just with word and deed. And I happened to have access to old clothes of the person, of the targets, and was able to take actual clothing they had worn and cut up and to sew the doll baby together. And was able to load that with herbs and scraps of the clothing and other personal concerns.
Mm-hmm. And general filler being Spanish moss as well.
Spanish moss is pretty classic. You can use just about anything, depending on what your intention is. I didn't have Spanish moss. I didn't have any Spanish moss when I built this one, so I just shredded more of the clothing I had from the target and used that as stuffing. Some people will sew a face onto it. Some people will actually take a photograph of the target and glue it to the face of the doll. You'll take hair from the target. You can glue that onto the head. You can go as elaborate or as simple as you want. Like any other personal concern, where the more connections you have to the target, the more likely you are to be successful.
Mm-hmm. So now you have your doll baby. You've sewn in whatever personal concerns you have, the herbs that's going to fit your purpose. But it is still not yet alive.
No, the doll needs to be baptized, and not necessarily going to asperge or submerge it like you would in a Baptist type ceremony baptism. You'd hold the doll baby, whatever kind of object you're using, your left hand, take the first two fingers of your right hand, you make the sign of the cross, and on the downward stroke and the cross stroke, you name it and verify that name. John Doe, you are to me. John Doe, you will ever be. Simple as that. And you can go forth to preach into it, to sort of drive into it the intent of what you're working. And just to sort of explain to the doll baby, this is your intent for being made. This is why you're going to remain this way. And this is what's going to happen. And again, you get a lot of passion in that. some workers get very fiery when it comes to defining the intent of that doll baby.
And then, you know, in general, if you're going to pour more of your passion into the working, the stronger it's going to be. So, it, sure. You know, makes a lot of sense to really get into it. But
I've also seen going back to using candles. I've seen some moving candle spells where you eventually move the figure of your target off the table and actually drop it into your mirror box. And that's another instance where you do something like graveyard dirt or something in the box to extinguish the candle, and then you close it up.
Wow, yeah, that seems pretty intense. all right, so you know that's the basics of it. So now, let's assume then that I haven't buried this mirror box somewhere. This is something I wish to dismantle now that the problem is over. So how would I go about first undoing the doll baby and then disposing of the box?
Well, you can, before you dispose, really for me, before you dispose of something like a mirror box, you're going to want to free the doll baby and you're going to want to remove it, the connection to the target. And just as simple as releasing, as simple as releasing the name from that, you know, acknowledging to the doll baby, you served your purpose, you're no longer this person. And at that point, you can dispose of it in fire or in running water. And that would be my two first suggestions. And you can do the same thing with the box. You either break the box up and dispose of the remains in a fire or in moving water, probably the best way.
Mm-hmm. And you know, if you have something in the doll that wish to get rid of in a certain way, for instance, you know, you don't feel comfortable throwing whatever you have in there into, you know, an open body, then definitely, you know, burn it up. But and this is actually something I'm not 100% sure on, but assuming you were going to burn it to ash, is it still something that you would take parts of the ash and bring it to either a crossroads or running water?
You could if you feel so inclined. Really, once it's consumed by fire, you've pretty well turned it loose.
Okay.
I'd be comfortable not worrying too much. Once fire has done its work, there's not much left behind.
Right. So, all right, so that kind of tells you can dismantle it in a very specific way, you know, taking it all out.
You absolutely want to free that doll, the spirit from that doll baby, before you throw it in a fire.
Yeah. Because that's a much different working.
that's a little different. You necessarily want to remember to turn that person loose before you put them in a fire. That's sort of, if you decide to take it loose, you just sure don't want to throw them and pitch them in the heat like that.
Yeah. And just thinking on that, too, when you're talking about releasing the doll baby, it reminded me of something else that you had mentioned when we were speaking before on this of, you know, there's a lot you can do if you really wish to restrain someone from doing things, such as, you know, tying their arms behind their back and binding their feet, blindfolding them, that sort of thing.
Oh, sure, as far as a doll baby, yeah.
Right. Since we're wandering on the subject, and I imagine if you put something like that in a mirror box, you're still solidifying that intent of, you know, you're not free, you're stuck doing whatever.
Yeah, if you got someone who's really causing problems and you want to give them a stern lesson, yeah, you can absolutely hog tie and blindfold and gag that doll baby, and even go so far as to hang it and beat it with a stick for a few days before it goes in that mirror box. You can really punish someone before they ever go into the box. Mm-hmm. To sort of make your intent clear. But you're talking about pretty heavy work there.
Right. Which, speaking of which, now that we've really kind of covered how to do this work, probably a good thing to step in to talk about cleansing baths or a way to get that kind of bad energy off of you now that you're done.
And even really, even if you're working a mirror box for a cleansing, for a healing purpose or a cast off evil type purpose, it's still ultimately a binding. You're still ultimately binding someone. So I would definitely suggest taking the time to do a cleansing bath. Something like Lucky Mojo's excellent 13 herb or their uncrossing bath or something as simple as a hyssop bath. And there's some other general uncrossing bath type baths using salt or Epsom salt and types of vinegar, ammonia, things like that. There's lots of little formulas for uncrossings. They're not too hard to find. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you're going to do this kind of work, doing a traditional mirror box, I definitely recommend you do at least a simple cleansing bath after the work.
Right. And that's something we'll probably really get into in another episode, since bathing is very big in hoodoo, as you should already know from listening to our hoodoo episode from the Pagan Report.
Yeah, I definitely say we can make a proper go of discussing right. baths. Maybe I can even come up with a few recipes I can share.
Oh, that'd be excellent. The hyssop bath is the one that I've had the best luck with when doing negative works to really take it off of you.
Yep.
For whatever reason, whenever I do that, I just happen to get really, really bad headaches. And so as soon as I get all this thing set up, you know, I'm running the water over me and things, it just really clears up really fast.
Yeah, hyssop's got a long history. That comes back to respecting the Bible's sort of veracity as a conjure book.
Mm-hmm. You'll never go far in the tradition without hearing someone mention at least some psalm at some point.
Well, no, and that's something else I'm sure we'll discuss. The hoodoo at its basis root is tied very firmly to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be a Christian to practice. I am a living example of that. But you do need to be able to respect the tradition if you're going to do traditional hoodoo work.
Right. So with that, is there anything else you wanted to add about mirror boxes?
Yeah, one thing about mirror boxes, we discussed kind of the sterner use of mirror boxes. I have seen mirror boxes used as protective spells, sort of a mirror bunker I've seen built by a very good worker, where it was built where the mirrors were on the outside of the box, and the doll babies or the images, I think it was a family picture used in this particular working, was placed inside. And this was sort of a defensive position for the family that was being targeted by all this negative work in order to protect them while the worker was able to do the cleansing and other work that was necessary to get everything else sorted out. So it can be used. And that tradition, if my understanding is correct, actually rises from curanderismo. This work was done in the southern part of Texas. It was influenced sort of by Mexican folk magic work, where they will take a picture of the client who needs protecting, and they'll place them between, say, two St. Michael holy cards, a protective entity like St. Michael, and then in turn enclose that packet between two mirrors and bind it so the mirrors are facing out. So you can use a mirror box as a purely protective device as well as a binding.
Okay, I have heard that use of the packets and things.
Mm-hmm. But that's more of what you think of as kind of a reverse mirror box, where you build it sort of inside out.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I think that'll do it for us. So is there any other closing words you got?
No, I don't think so. I think if anybody has any questions, suggestions, of course, like I said, we're still learning. We'd be happy to hear from anybody. You can reach us at lamplighterblues@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we're also on Twitter as lamplighterblue without the S, because we ran out of characters. And other than that, we have a blog, too, that we really should put some stuff on.
Yeah, it's just getting started, so we're kind of behind. We both maintain our own. Of course, you have your own show you're still working on. I have a blog of my own that we're kind of working on, so we'll slowly get that populated and kind of do things.
Yep, absolutely, and that is at lamplighterblues.wordpress.com. So with that, have a good one, guys, and we will catch you next time.
I'll see you next time.